Father in heaven, we come and seek your grace. We seek your grace and your love for the Warner family, for William Edmund, Lord, as he is with you. And Lord, the impact he's already made on this world is more than many will make. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would work through his testimony in this world for the lost, that they would come to know you. And Lord, we pray for Cameron and Amanda and the girls. We pray for their family, that you'd strengthen them at this time and bring healing to them. And God, as we get into the Word today, we ask your Holy Spirit would be the teacher. Not one message that I've taught, but a message for every heart that you have for your people today. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. And God's kids say, amen. All right. So as we get started this morning, I just want to share with you, please get something out to take notes. We're going to have some things for you to write down, some things I want you to remember. And then also, just as you're in Luke chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 12 and going through verse 15 as we look at our message entitled, Coming Back to Community. And you and I, whether we know it or not, acknowledge it or not, we long for community. We hate it when people are in cliques. Why? Because we want to be involved in community. How many of you have ever been put out because there was a group of people that you weren't part of? Right? That's it? You were all getting ready to take notes as good Bible students. Yeah, I want to ask the question. Okay. Let me ask the question again. How many of you were ever put out because there was a group of people you weren't part of? Yeah, the people that didn't raise their hands, you were part of the group, right? And we forgive you. We want you to know that right now, just up front. But here's the thing. We forget how much we long for community. Jesus desires that you and I are active participants in his community. His community is known as the kingdom of God, part of the global church of God, and part of a local body like this one. That we're involved in community, we're involved in the church together. We seek, by the way, naturally, a place that we are loved, where we are accepted for who we are. That's one of the things I love about you guys. You accept me exactly as I am. Woo! You know, and you guys accept me for that. And I'm okay, and you're good with that, and I thank you for that. Right? I'm like Pastor Johnny Depp. You know, so, but some of you get it. Some of you need to watch more Disney. But okay, but listen. But the issue is that you and I need to be in a place that we're accepted, that we're loved, but a place that we feel safe, a place we feel secure, a place we feel like we can make mistakes. How many of you guys have kids that when you're out in public, people go, your kids are just so wonderful. And you look at them and go, whose children are you talking about? How many of you can relate to that? Do you know why? Because your kids have a community called a family. Your kids feel safe and accepted. And what happens is they push at home to learn what's right and wrong, because they're in a community where they can fail and still be loved, still be accepted. And so we have to understand being part of the kingdom of God is being part of a community where we can trip, where we can stumble. And then that person around us grabs us and picks us up and walks with us and helps us. It's called community. It's called the church. And we're supposed to be part of that. There are so many people today that can stand in a sea of people surrounded by numerous personalities from introvert to extrovert and still feel cold and alone, desperate for connection. There could be people in a room like this that are desperately alone and feel disconnected. And all of the stuff that we have been through as a community, as a nation, as a church, is driving a wedge between people, because we're treating everybody like they're unclean. And we're going to talk about that as we look at this passage today. But here, what's been happening? Why are so many people alone? Well, healthy communities have been lost. I met all the kids in my neighborhood growing up because my mom kicked me out of the house to go play with the kids in her neighborhood. It was not an option not to meet the other kids at the playground, because that's where you went. How many of you guys can relate? Right? How many of you met the bully at the playground? How many of you were the bully at the playground? Okay, we need to talk. No, but listen. You understand, right? It's like you get out, you're in community, but listen, healthy community is slowly being lost by a growing isolation through media, through fear, and now it has become mainstream, and it's now an epidemic in recent months because people have been shut down, closed off. When we first had to close the church, and we felt like we had to because we didn't know what was going to happen. We were trying to love our neighbor. And one of the first things we did is we printed out all of our contact information for our church body, which we knew was going to be difficult to make every one of those phone calls. Do you know why? Because there were people on that list from 7 years ago, some 10 years ago, people that we knew this wasn't their home church. We called every one of those numbers. Do you know why we did? We did because we are community. And you know what? When I said, hey, we're going to call, and somebody looked at me and said, why? I said, why would we not make sure our community is well? Why would we not minister in this way? Guys, we're not supposed to be isolated. We are supposed to be in a community of people. And when we are isolated, we long for that community. So what's the solution? The solution is restoration. Coming back into community, coming back into fellowship with other people, into relationships that become the center of our community of faith and of practice. And so before we get into the word, there are three things that I'd like you to write down and note when it comes to this idea of community and restoration into community. What does it take? Number one, seek forgiveness when we must. If we have hurt somebody, go fix it. The second thing is forgive as we must. And Jesus said we must forgive as Christ has forgiven us. Paul would say that as he's writing Jesus in the sense of, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven, so get after it. But here's the idea, forgive as we must. We must forgive. And so let's make sure that we are a people who are seeking forgiveness when we've hurt someone else, that we seek to forgive when someone else has hurt us, and restore people in hope. The hope that is in the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. We know how to restore people. Forgive. Ask for forgiveness. And restore people. By the way, how many of you in this room, by show of hands, have had somebody who names the name of Christ hurt you? That means another Christian, if you didn't understand. How many of you had another Christian hurt you? Raise them up. Raise them up high. Guess what? We're still here. Do you know why we're here? Because we had to move past it. People hurt us. How many of you in this room are married? Raise a hand. How many of you have been hurt by that person you married? Raise your hand. Yeah. That's 100% around the room. We hurt each other. People hurt people. Why? Because we're sinners. We do. But that doesn't mean we run away and hide. That means we need to forgive. And as the community, we need to seek to have community. Well, there's a leper in our passage that wants nothing more than community. He wants to be restored to his community. That's what he desires. He wants to be again with people and in the house of the Lord. And so let's go ahead and read through our passage together. And it happened when he, that's Jesus, was in a certain city that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So, really quick, let's talk about leprosy for just a moment so we understand it. First of all, leprosy is a type of sin. If you're taking notes, that's important to note. When you're reading through the Bible, it's a type of sin. You can draw an analogy from it acting like sin in us. It defiles us. It makes us unclean. It separates us from community, and that's what's happened to the leper here. Today, it's known as Hansen's disease, and at that time, it was a death sentence, and it was a lonely, slow death at that. Because you were separated and isolated from the community of faith and the community of people and love and hope, all that stuff was gone from you because you had leprosy. Now, there's a few things we want to talk about leprosy, just so you understand. The Talmud. The Talmud and the Mishnah are basically the Jews explaining the law, how to keep the law and all that. Now, the Talmud tells us that a leper could not come within 4 cubits of any Israelite and 100 cubits of any Israelite if the east wind was blowing. So just so you know, 100 cubits is 150 feet. Does anybody in this room know what 4 cubits is? 6 feet. Just let that sink in for a minute. Yeah. How many of you have been in the store, had to stand in your box, 6 feet away from the other box? And how many of you have been tempted to just do what the law tells us in Leviticus and go, unclean! I am unclean! Right? Anybody been tempted to do that, or is it just me? Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I can see what's going to happen tomorrow. There'll be 100 people out in the community standing in their box going, yes, I'm unclean. But fear has created this weird isolation. And you know, we were talking the other day about, you know, we have our seats 6 feet apart. And I was talking to some people about, hey, we might have to lose that. And they're like, No, we like all the leg room. I'm like, great. COVID has made permanent changes to the church culture, right? We're getting used to a little bit more space, and that's okay. But the Talmud said, look, 6 feet, man, you can't come within 6 feet of another person if the wind's not blowing. If the wind's blowing, 150 feet, you can't even come near them. The Mishnah says that if you come in contact with a leper, his possession, anywhere he's been, you become ceremonially unclean and have to go and wait and then go to the temple and become, well, declared clean because you touched a leper or his things. According to Josephus, there were colonies of lepers because they were not let to, they couldn't come into the city. Not only could they not come into the city, but they couldn't even be in the house of a relative. This was a death sentence. If you got leprosy, you were cast out of community. You were cast out of your community. You had no contact with others. According to the Torah, the Jewish law, by the way, makes no provision to cleanse a leper, only to declare someone clean who is suspected of leprosy. And it gives a sacrifice if you had leprosy and you become clean. And we'll talk about that by the time we're done. But the rabbis, the Jewish leaders, felt that leprosy was a chastisement from God. Were they being mean or rude? No. They were reading the Bible. What you have to realize is that as the Jewish leaders were looking, they saw Moses get into it with the Lord a little bit, and his hand became leprous. Remember, he put his hand in, brought it out, put it in, brought it out, put it in, came out, it was dirty, put it in, came, brought it out, it was clean. Jews still today argue about what his sin was. But Miriam was punished with leprosy. Naaman was not necessarily punished with leprosy, but he had it. But Gehazi, the servant of the priest, But the prophet did what? Took from Naaman what he shouldn't have taken. And so the leprosy that was on Naaman went to who? Gehazi. Joab and Uzziah punished with leprosy. So you, by the way, just so you know, don't beat up the Jewish leaders for thinking that it makes sense. They see it in the word. So, verse 12, let's go ahead and now let's talk about it. It happened when he was in a certain city, by the way, at a certain time in a certain place, is basically what Luke is saying, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy. Now, full of leprosy means it was over his whole body. It wasn't like a hand or a foot or an ear or a nose. It was his whole body. This man would have been on the verge of death and smelt like it. His body was decaying. He was full of leprosy and he saw Jesus. Now, by the way, when we have a problem in our life, who do you want to look for? Oh, you want to be looking for Jesus. Don't be looking for people. Don't be looking for men. You look for Jesus. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And so he looks and he sees Jesus and he fell on his face and implored him saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. How many of you guys realize the emphaticness of his faith in the last part of the sentence? He believes the Messiah can make him clean. His only question is, Lord, are you willing? Are you willing? Because I know that you can. Are you willing? He had faith in the power of the Messiah. He was just unsure if he would do it. Why? Because he was unclean. He was untouchable. He was an outcast. He'd been removed from every place that he was ever loved or ever cared for. And now he's wondering, will the Holy One of God be able to touch me, a leprous man? He knows he can. He just doesn't know if God's willing. How many of you guys realize that makes sense? Right? Well, he's asking for a restoration. Into what? He says, make me clean. Nowhere does it say in Matthew or Mark, in any of the 10 different translations I looked at side by side, just to be sure, is it ever translated, heal me, or bring me healing? It's make me clean. To a Jew, when they are unclean, they are separated from their community. He is saying, make me clean. By the way, does he want to be healed? Of course. But he doesn't ask that way. He says, make me clean, which is this, restore me back into my community. That's why when Jesus speaks about what Moses required, we know exactly what the two of them are talking about. This is about being restored back into his community of faith, into his community of acceptance and love and safety. This is what he's asking for. And so, now remember, when he came and he fell to the ground, how close was he to Jesus? Do we know? We don't know. It doesn't tell us. But if he's an adherent Jew and he's adhering to the law, what's the closest that he is to Jesus? 6 feet. It never says that he's at the feet of Jesus here. Never says it in any of the texts regarding this passage. So he falls on the ground, probably at a distance, and he cries out, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then it says that he, this is Jesus, put out his hand and touched him. Now, Jesus, his arm was probably not 6 feet, which means what? Jesus closed the gap. That's what Jesus does. Jesus closes the gap. Jesus is here. The man falls there. If you are willing, he's a leper. All the people around him know he's a leper. They can tell he's a leper. And what does Jesus do? Jesus begins to close the gap and put out his hand and touch the untouchable. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did on the cross. On the cross, Jesus came and bridged the gap between you and God. He is the one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is the one that bridges the gap. He's the one that closes the distance. We don't first love him. He first loved us. And so Jesus reaches out. He closes the gap by reaching over and he touches him. He touched the untouchable. Think about this man. This man has been a leper for quite some time. His whole body is full of leprosy. He has not felt the touch of another person until he felt the touch of God. And God reaches down and touches him. And listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus touches him, touching the leper, saying, "I am willing. Be cleansed." By the way, the Talmud say? The Talmud says that if you touch somebody who's a leper, you become what? Unclean. Did Jesus become unclean? No. The power of God flowed forth through Jesus and pushed away the filth of leprosy and the condemnation and the separation that this man had experienced for years. Because he said, "I am willing, be cleansed." Did Jesus have to touch him? No. But aren't you glad Jesus didn't go, "Ew." Right? How many of you have ever done something stupid and you have that feeling that God's looking at you going, "Ew, what'd you do?" By the way, God's not in heaven surprised when you go all stupid. He's not up there going, "Oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with you now." That's what parents do to calm down because they actually don't know what they're going to do right now. It's not what God does. What does God do when we mess up? He closes the gap with his love, his compassion, and his grace. And that's what God wants to do for you today. That's what God wants to do for the world that's out there. Church, we are supposed to be those who love. That is, if you want to fulfill the commandments of God, then love God, love each other, and do what you want. Because if you're loving God and you're loving one another, you're doing the right things. You're doing righteousness and justice. But guys, love God 100%. With everything you've got. This is what we gather. We gather to love God, to love up to God. Then we love into our family. We love this body, this community of crazy, broken, messed up people. Can I get an amen? And that was just for me. You guys put up with me. We put up with each other. We love each other. We pour out grace upon grace for one another. But we're a community, and no one can take that community from us. And those of you who are online, you're part of our community, even though you're not on campus with us. Give us a thumbs up. Say, "Yeah, we're here. Yes, we're part of the community. Yes, we long for community." But he touched the untouchable. He said, "I'm willing." So, say this with me. God is able. Say it like you mean it. God is able. Guess what else he is? God is willing. Say, "God is willing." God is able. God is willing. What does he want to do? Right? Right? That's right. Just get it in there. Get it in your mind. That's it. God is able. God is willing. And you know what? We need to remember that. He is able, he is willing, he's going to close the gap, he's going to restore us to community. He will forgive us of our sin that has separated us from him. He will forgive us of sin that has separated us from our community. God will forgive us. Oh goodness, church, we need to forgive one another. And we need to restore one another into fellowship, into peace, and into hope. But I'll tell you right now, there's so much fear about community. That's why this blesses me. It blesses me to see us together and be with one another because there's so much fear out there. So much fear. Goodness, I was in a meeting the other day and somebody sneezed and somebody went, "Oh, we're all going to die." By the way, did you know you can still get normal sick? Did you guys know that? That's a thing, yeah. You can get a normal cold. You can get a normal flu. You can have a headache that's not COVID. Did you know that? I suffer from migraines. It's debilitating. I have debilitating migraines. And sometimes I teach with them, and so that it gets, that's why. Okay, so, but like, so sometimes it's really hard. And so like I had a migraine the other day, and I said something to somebody, yeah, I got a migraine today. And they go, oh, you know what? That's a symptom of COVID. You should go get checked. I said, my head already hurts. Nobody's poking anything up there right now. I'm sorry. I know what a migraine is. I've had them for years, right? But how many of you guys get it? There's just so much fear. Everybody's like, oh, what about, oh, I don't know. How many guys can relate? Right? It's just like, we don't know. Guys, God wants to take away that fear, and he wants to restore us back into community. God is able. Don't forget it. Write it down. Make a bumper sticker. Put a t-shirt together. Do something. But God is able and God is willing. But here's the question for us. Are we willing to be part of the Jesus community? Are we willing to play our part, to take part in our community of faith? Now, something interesting happens. We see in verse 13 at the very last half, Jesus touches him immediately, that's instantly, the leprosy left him. It wasn't like one of these moments where, you know, a CGI guy will have it kind of roll off the body or something like that. No, it was like, gone. How powerful is God? All power, in an instant, right? Touch, gone. Leprosy, gone. Whole body, healed. Whole body, made whole. Because God is able. Now, the former leper, his life has changed forever, but his face is still in the dirt at the feet of Jesus, right? By the way, when your life has changed, that's where you should find yourself. At the feet of Jesus, worshiping him, loving him. But see, remember, he did desire to be healed. He didn't ask for that. He said, restore me back to my community. And so it begins this in verse 14. He charged him to tell no one. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he tell him to not tell anybody? Don't you think this is an awesome testimony? Absolutely. Daniel chapter 9 tells us there's a day when Jesus will be revealed. There's a specific date. Jesus even said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you would have only known this thy day, the exact day prophesied when the Messiah would come into Jerusalem, and he did just that. At this time, he's saying, hey, keep it on the down low a little bit because it's not my time yet. Hey, don't tell anybody. But yet, you know what? That goes out. People just keep hearing more and more about Jesus. You can't keep a good testimony quiet, can you? Jesus' miracles were not designed to make him famous, although they were a huge part of his ministry. They were designed for him to just minister to individuals. Ministering to individuals, loving people. If you want to be in ministry, remember, it's about loving people. It's not about being famous. It's about loving people. Are you willing to love people? I consider myself more infamous than anything else. But it's frustrating to me sometimes. To just say, oh, well, your church. Please don't ever say that to me. Because if you do, you're going to get corrected. And I don't care where we are. Store, church, it's not my church. Whose church is this? Yeah, it belongs to Jesus. It's his church. I'm the most replaceable person in the room. Absolutely, 100%. This church belongs to Jesus. We're not seeking to be famous. We're seeking to make him famous. Because we lift up the name of Jesus and he will draw all men unto himself. He said that. He said, you'd lift me up. I'll draw all men to myself. Because he's talking about the death he would die, the death of the cross. And we need to keep that message central. Well, Jesus says, don't tell anybody. But on the other hand, what I want you to do is I want you to go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Now, Jesus commanded this man to be quiet with his testimony, but go give the testimony to the priests. The Mosaic Law in Leviticus 14 writes out an offering and tells us an offering that you can bring whether you have money or whether you don't, whether you're poor, because I'm sure if you've been a leper for some time, you don't have income, you don't have resources. And so you come and you bring this offering to the priests. Now, by the way, we have no record of anyone ever coming to the priests and doing the sacrifice. Nowhere. We don't have any record of it. But this is probably not something that happened very often. We have very few instances in the Old Testament. This is the first one we have in the New Testament. So imagine, since the building of the second temple, Zerubbabel's temple, that there have been no Jews cleansed from leprosy until this day. And you show up with your sacrifice because you've been cleansed of leprosy. What do you think the priests are going to do who've never done this before? They're like, oh, you're here to do what? Okay, so, no, I can see you're healthy. I can see, well, you had leprosy. When? Yesterday? What? Yeah, so wait a minute. You were full of leprosy yesterday and now you're clean? I think you have a mental problem. But okay, but could you imagine be like, hold on a second, I need to get the manager, you know, right? Boss! You know, it's like they'd have to get the scrolls out and go, what are we supposed to do with this? It's Leviticus, right? You know what? Because it's this idea of this sacrifice that just wasn't done. We don't know if he went, but I hope he did. I hope he went, and I hope he said it was Jesus. Maybe that's why some of the Jews did believe. Who knows? But we don't know if he did or not. But a witness of a changed life will change other lives and bring other people into the community. So that question I asked earlier, are we willing to be part of the Jesus community? Are we willing to be engaged in our church body or disconnected? Look, find a church home and give it all you got. Give it everything you've got. Whether you're online or whether you're on campus, you give it everything you've got. Now, verse 15 says this. However, even though we asked him to be quiet, however, the report went around concerning him all the more. Yeah, can't keep a testimony down. Boy, people just talking about what happened. And great multitudes came together to hear, that's number one, that is to hear the word, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. That's second, that's the work. You have to understand, when you study the Bible, this is the order that we see. It is the word of God and then the work that we see of healing, of infirmities, of things like that. It is the word that comes first. That's why we put a huge priority upon the word. We pray for people when? After what? The word. It's the pattern we see in the scripture. And we hold to that pattern. Because Jesus would preach the word and then those miraculous things would happen. Now, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back out as we close together. And as we close together, I want you to remember a couple things. Jesus is able. Secondly, he is willing. We're about to partake of communion together, which reminds us of all that Jesus did for us on the cross. That his body was broken, that the blood of the Holy Son of God was shed, that we could have the remission of sins. But here's the thing that I want you to realize and I want you to know is that your sin, your filth, your nasty, your problem does not defile the Son of God. On the contrary, his glory, his grace, his love, his blood that was shed for you touches your life and makes you whole. And that's what we desire. And that's what I desire for every one of you. Maybe you came in here today and you're just feeling dirty. Maybe you came in and you're just feeling all messed up because you know the stuff you're doing that you think nobody knows about, but you know about it. And if you know about it, God knows about it. There's nothing hidden from God. You can turn off the lights. You can turn down the contrast on the screen. God still knows what you're doing. God knows what you're doing. All your sin was found out thousands of years ago. All your sin was open and exposed before God, before the world's foundation was even formed. Do you know how we know this? We know this because 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he, that is God the Father, made him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for you and I, the broken, the lost, the messed up." Why? that we might become the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God the Father, in Him, in the Son. This is one of the clearest presentations of the gospel in Scripture. And it's incredibly concise. All of your sin was dealt with one time on the cross of Christ when His life was given for yours, and your sin was poured out upon Him in the wrath of the Father. God the Father poured out His wrath upon His Son in exchange for you. By the way, this is more about going to heaven when we die. This is about living a life for God in community with Him and with one another. God acted for our sake, which means God acted out of His love and His compassion to close that gap, to deal with the problem that we had, and made it possible to remove the separation that was between us and Him through Jesus Christ. That we can be in communion with Him, and God exists in His own communion, in His own community, in the triunity of God. He exists in community, and He invites us to become part of that community with Him and with one another. That's who we are to be. But sin separates us from that community. We've explained how God accomplished this. He accomplished it through Jesus Christ, through sending His Son Jesus, that through Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life. We can be brought back and restored back into our community. Just like the leper, He said, cleanse me. Jesus cleansed him and then said, now go prove your cleansing back to your community. Go to the religious leaders and say, yes, I can come back into the house of God. I can go back to my family and back into community. By the grace of God, His gift of grace through faith in Christ Jesus that we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, what happens is God receives Christ's death as payment for our sin, gives us credit for Christ's righteousness in return. By the way, who gets the good end of the deal? We do. We get the good end of that deal. But it tells us that Jesus did this, why? For the joy that was set before Him. What is the joy that was set before Jesus that He was willing to endure the cross, the humility of the cross? You are. You're the joy. You're the reason. You are His joy. You are His crown. You are the one that He died for. I am the one that He died for. Why? Because He's willing. He is willing to come and touch our lives and make us clean. And so as we partake together of communion, let's go ahead and take out those elements for the most distracting part of our morning as we open up all the little plastic and tin foil that's going on there. How many of you guys remember the days of communion when you got to paw all the bread? Remember that? Right? You like touch all of them and look for the biggest piece so you get a snack and shirt, right? Remember that? Boy, things sure have changed, haven't they? Now we have PPE communion, right? You know, it's like we have our personal protective equipment here, you know, for communion. But here's the thing we have to realize is that His body was broken for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And that's why we remember what Jesus did for us today. Father in heaven, thank You for this little piece of bread that reminds us of Your broken body. We do this in remembrance of You with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. And Lord, we hold the cup, which reminds us of the broken body of Jesus, but His shed blood that was poured from His veins for us on Calvary. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Lord, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven of sin. And we have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of eternal community. We have the hope of our community that we live in now. Lord, thank you. We remember your death until you come. Thank you, Lord. But come quickly in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake together. Church, let's all stand together. And we're going to worship the Lord together. We're going to lift up our hands. We're going to lift up our voices. Because God's worthy of our praise. Amen? Amen. And he's worthy of our praise because he's the one that bridged the gap. He's the one that made a way for us to be in community with one another. And after worship, there'll be a few pastors down here that are here to pray for you and love on you. But church, remember, we are part of a community. We don't want to lose that community. Let us each seek to build the community of Jesus Christ, the community of faith in this world and in this place. Let's give it our all for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. You are loved, your family. God bless you. Let's worship the Lord together.